Lovely to see all of your faces. I have a few family members here as well, I think. There's Yuri, my stepson from San Francisco. Well, this is quite an experience. Here we are by Zoom. Well, the proximal cause why I am speaking is that Kate asked me. And as I've taken Kate as my teacher, and I bow to her wisdom rather than succumb to my own trepidation, I decided I would go forth and try this. Also, this week was my 71st birthday on Wednesday, and I woke up with the words of Maimonides going through my head, which is, if not now, when? How much time do I have to procrastinate and delay? Not much at this point, probably. What the sutta that we're going to talk about today, or that I'm going to talk about, is the Maggia Sutta. And this comes from the Pali Canon, which is said to be actually from the words of the Buddha. So this is a very ancient teaching. And although these texts were not written down until about 400 years later, this is a text that's often referenced, actually, and it's referenced because of the value that it shows that the Buddha placed on spiritual friendship. The friendship that encourages and supports and guides us on our path to understanding ourselves deeply and our true nature. There's a story that Ananda, the Buddha's lifelong companion and attendant, came to him one day and asked, he wondered whether having good friends is half of the path. No, Ananda, the Buddha told him, having good friends isn't half of the holy life. Having good friends is the whole of the holy life. So the importance of a caring and respectful relationship and the encouragement and guidance those can provide in our maturing and liberation is a timeless theme. And the one that I think is actually particularly relevant to us today. This teaching, I believe, can shine some light on our current situation while we navigate the turbulent waters of living during a pandemic. This Tuesday, May 19th, we will begin phase two of the BC public health strategy for the transition from shutdown to the cautious reopening of our society and economy. I don't know about you, but I'm really looking forward to a haircut, even if it requires masks and gloves. I'm sure everybody is sort of itching to do some things. Restaurants, yoga studios, physiotherapists will all start to reopen with physical distancing attached. Students will begin to return to school. And now we have something called bubbles, which I'm actually not really clear what a bubble is. But it's a brand new world, and we're all just trying to figure out how to be in it. So more on that later. So back to this story. So here we catch a glimpse of how the Buddha taught his young monks to mature in their practice. It speaks of the value of a loving relationship to each other, and particularly the priceless bond between a teacher and disciple. This lovely relationship extends to the Sangha, or spiritual community, and to the body of wisdom, the Dharma teachings. The text demonstrates how guidance can be given without judgment, how enthusiasm is met with patience, unbounded energy is tempered by wisdom, and what is conducive to the maturing of the heart's release, which is the title for this talk, and also a sentence you'll hear later on. During this story, we encounter the Buddha and his attendant monk, Maggia. While there aren't a lot of personal details about their characters, I'm going to take some license here to set the scene, which is an encounter between the two of them. The Buddha appears to be in his later years, having guided probably thousands of monks during that time. He has an air of someone who has seen it all. He is patient, tolerant, and has a deep understanding that people need to learn from their own actions, their own experience. Maggia appears young, enthusiastic, full of energy, and a bit brash. Perhaps the old sage can see something of his younger self in Maggia. Siddhartha, the name of the Buddha before his enlightenment, did, after all, defy his own father's wishes that he continue in his father's footsteps as a ruler and warrior, which was the caste and destiny to which the Buddha had been born. At the age of 29, he secretly stole out of his house in the middle of the night, leaving his young wife and newborn child. While he went off in the incredibly idealistic pursuit to find the end of suffering. We're going to do an experiment here. We're going to try and enact the meeting between the Buddha, who will be played by the part of Michael, and Maggia, who will be played by River. I will be the narrator. So, using the magical powers of Zoom and relying on your good humor and tolerance for imperfection, let's go to this meeting. So, scene one. Do we have River and Michael online? Do speaker view. Okay. I'd like to also mention we haven't rehearsed this, so. Maggia, the Buddha's attendant, comes to him, pays his respect, and asks if he can go to the local village.
I desire, sir, to go to enter Jantu village for alms, for an alms quest.
Do whatever you think it is time for, Maggia.
So off Maggia goes. Upon his return and after he's finished his meal, Maggia goes to the riverbank for exercise. Apparently exercise was something that was done even 2,500 years ago in the monastic order. At the riverbank, he spots a delightful mango grove and thinks to himself, this is the perfect place to strive for concentration. And he thinks to himself,
truly, a lovely place to go and a proper place for a monk to strive for concentration.
Maggia returns to the Buddha to ask for permission to return to the mango grove to meditate.
If the Exalted One gives me leave, I would go to that mango grove to strive for concentration.
Wait a little, Maggia. I'm alone till some other monks arrive.
Not to be dissuaded, and after a short time, Maggia asks again.
As there's nothing left to be done, and you don't need anything more, while I, on the other hand, still have more to do and more to achieve, may I have leave to go to the mango grove to strive for concentration?
Wait a little, Maggia. I am alone till some other monk arrives.
Maggia is like a dog with a bone. He's not about to give up. So for the third time, he asks,
all my duties are fulfilled. May I have leave to go now?
Well, what can I say when you talk of striving for concentration. Do what you think it is time for.
Off Magia rushes to the grove, finds himself in a good spot, and begins to meditate. However, no sooner has he begun than he finds his mind being full of habitual and disturbing thoughts.
It is strange in truth, it is wonderful in truth, that I, who in faith became a homeless monk, should be assailed by such thoughts of lust, thoughts of malicious actions, and thoughts of harmful conduct.
Wherever you go, there you are. So instead of concentration, his companions were the three sources of ignorance, greed, anger, and delusion. This wasn't what he was striving for, but discouraged he isn't. In fact, he thought it was so wondrous and that he eagerly returns to the Buddha to tell him what had happened.
Sir, while I have been staying in that mango grove there, came to me habitually three evil, unprofitable forms of thought. Then, sir, I thought it strange in truth. It is wonderful in truth that I should be so assailed.
When the heart's release is immature, five things conduce to its maturity.
So now begins the lesson. The Buddha wisely knows that you have to reach the point that you're ready to hear. And it's also interesting, the Buddha doesn't say to him, I told you to wait, or imply that Magia has somehow failed. But rather he turns with compassion and wisdom. He speaks of the heart's release and maturing. Well, what's meant by that phrase, the heart's release? You often hear, you know, people talking about opening their heart or closing their heart or breaking their heart or mending their heart. But what does it mean to have the heart's release? When I think of something being released, the opposite is that it's captured or that it is contained in some way. I saw a video of, it was from Jane Goodall, and it was about a young chimpanzee who had been taken to the sanctuary as an infant. And this, probably its mother had been killed. And it was raised in the sanctuary until it was a young adolescent. And then they took the chimpanzee into a place in the jungle. And Jane Goodall was actually there. And they opened up his carrier and he cautiously came out and looked around. There were no walls, there were no gates, and he took a few steps away and went a little bit into the jungle. And then he came back, he rushed back and he actually gave Jane Goodall a hug. And then he turned around and he went cantering off into the woods. That image sort of speaks to me of what is implied by release, about taking yourself into a bigger world, a bigger space, where the normal confines that maybe you have been experiencing are penetrated. So release from what? So perhaps the confines of a limited sense of self, one tightly bound in a body and ego that reinforces our individuality, the identity we all carry around, our own sense of separation from others, from the world we live in. It's like a bird that has spent its entire life inside a small cage, and suddenly the gate is open. What awaits the bird is freedom and its ability to merge with the sky. There are five things that the Buddha spoke of and how they might relate to us today. While we're still in the active phase of the pandemic, how can we carefully move from isolation to integration? First, the Buddha spoke of love, how we need to cultivate a lovely intimacy, a lovely friendship, a lovely comradeship for the opening of the heart. For us today, how do we extend our loving relationships to include someone we care about? Perhaps it is your parents, grandparents, adult children, a close friend that you can now reach out and touch. Who is going to be in your bubble without bursting it? Second, the Buddha spoke of the restraint of obligation and the need for discipline. This was, after all, a monastic order, and all the monks would have taken vows and had duties and responsibilities to uphold. We also have guidelines that we need to maintain. We've been hearing about them for weeks now. Physical distancing, hand washing, don't touch your face, and most importantly, do not go out in public if you're sick. Third, listen deeply. What helps us to release the heart? How do we move from captivation to liberation? From being a prisoner of our own mind to freedom? Listening deeply. Listening to ourselves. Listening to the wise counsel of others. Listening to the world all around us. Today we need to stay informed. Listen to the guidance of health and political authorities. Take what they say to heart. Also, listen to yourself, to that small, still voice that helps you decide what is best for you and for others. We all need to listen to the wise counsel of others and to ourselves in the coming days. Fourth, be resolute in energy. Abandon that which is harmful and reinforce that which is virtuous. We need to try our best. That will require effort, discipline, forgiveness, tolerance, and it also helps to maintain a sense of humor. Finally, the Buddha spoke of impermanence, the arising and passing of all things. There is nothing to hold on to except faith in the present moment. For us, remember that this too will pass. Our present situation will one day be a distant memory. Change is the only constant there is, so try resting in not knowing. I actually have that sign attached to my compost bucket that rests on my, that is on my, the counter of my kitchen sink, so that I can look at it throughout the day. Actually, my husband and I often talk about that when we're getting upset about something, you know, about how you want to know what's coming next. How's this all going to work out? Well, rest in not knowing. It's a very different era that we're in. Humans, though, have survived. We've survived as a species through many a pandemic that threw their societies into disarray, only to engage in a new paradigm, to emerge into a new paradigm. Adaptability is probably one of our strongest traits. For myself, I like to try and imagine that maybe we can come out of this with a different way of living in our world, a way that is more sustainable, is more caring. I think we've all had a long opportunity to be with ourselves, to think about what really is important, what's essential. That's the word that's used over and over again. What is essential? Maybe having a lot of things is not really that essential. And I encourage everyone to think of a vision of the future that they would like to see, and then sort of support that vision. It's very easy to get locked into fear right now, but the sort of antidote to that is to aspire to aspire to something that is compassionate, that is life-giving, that is spacious, that is inclusive, that has this root justice. And I do think that that's a world that we can help to create now. The Buddha also outlined for Meghia how the mind matures and the negative traits or hindrances how they can transform into actually skillful means. Lustful and greedy thoughts, when abandoned, will be the basis of love and generosity. Amity, friendliness, and peace grows when you abandon malice. Mindfulness of breathing strengthens as you let go of discursive thoughts. Consciousness of impermanence helps to uproot the pride of egoism. The sense of this confined, separate self is dispelled with the realization of the unity of all life. I'd like to close by expressing my gratitude to the spiritual friendship that has been so generously extended to me by my teachers, our teachers, Michael and Kate, who have worked tirelessly during this pandemic to keep us all connected, and have worked tirelessly for years to help to create this wonderful, inclusive, warm community to which we all belong, Mountain Rain. I would like to express my gratitude to all of you, to my family and friends who have supported and loved me. And I would like to express my gratitude to all of the myriad things that make up this wonderful world that we live in. And in the words of the great Bodhisattva, Dr. Bonnie Henry, our chief public health officer, stay safe. Stay calm, stay kind.
May our intention equally extend to every being and place with the true merit of our numberless.